Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Just kind of snuck up on me. I was reading something on another website and the music started. But anyways, welcome to the Tuesday, October 9th edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need? Head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, those blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so you can look for one popping up over there tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at
Dan the Man with three.
All right. Well, you know, Dan, I guess the, you know, good old Major League Baseball and the television networks couldn't have scripted this any better. We only got one game tonight, and it is, what is it? It's Red Sox at Yankees. Boston wins, and the series is over. The Yankees win, and we go back to Boston. Damn you, Dan, well know that they all won a game five, so how are they going to get the Yankees a win tonight?
Every call is overturned, I don't know.
Well, you know, it's funny you brought that up, because I believe I heard that Angel Hernandez will be behind the plate tonight. He was at first base yesterday. With all the fiascos that went on over there, he missed, was it three out of the four calls on replay? Three of his four calls got overturned, I believe it was. And it's odd because he's also the umpire who filed a discrimination suit against Major League Baseball. Maybe the fact that he wasn't doing playoff games had nothing to do with discrimination and the fact that he just sucks as an umpire. So, you know, maybe that'll have a little something to do with tonight, and he'll be able to get to the Yankees a game five. But we're getting a game five, right? I mean, you have no doubts about this.
Tonight, no, I think the Red Sox wrap it up. I don't see how they can.
So I do have the lineups here, Dan, and I think it was kind of humorous that Brock Holt hit the cycle, and now he's back on the Red Sox bench. But we're going with Mookie Betts leading off in right field for Boston. Then it's Andrew Benintendi batting second in left field. Steve Pearce moves up to the third spot. He'll play first base. JD Martinez is fourth. He's the DH. Your guy Xander Bogaerts drops down one spot to fifth. He's at short. Ian Kinsler will play second base tonight and hit sixth. Eduardo Nunez takes over at third, so there's no Rafael Devers either. He's hitting seventh. Jackie Bradley Jr. is the eighth hitter tonight. He's in center field. And Christian Vasquez gets the catch again, and he'll hit ninth. On the Yankee side, Aaron Hicks is back. He's going to lead off and play center field. Aaron Judge is hitting second in right field. Your other guy, Didi, back up to the third spot, Dan, at short. Giancarlo Stanton is fourth. He's the DH. Luke Voigt is fifth at first base. Neil Walker's going to hit sixth and play third base, Dan. That means no Miguel Andujar for the Yankees to start. Gary Sanchez is catching and hitting seventh. Gleyber Torres hits eighth at second. And Brett Gardner hits ninth in left field. All right, Dan, lot of lineup changes. Which is the biggest surprise for you?
Maybe that Andujar's not in.
So, yeah, that is a little surprising. And I know I hesitated to you know, I didn't mention the pitchers. It's Rick Porcello going for the Red Sox tonight. And CeCe coming off suspension. We're going to get to see CeCe Sabathia for the Yankees tonight. Oddly, you know, Dan, for the Red Sox, I didn't realize this. Apparently, Sandy Leon always catches Porcello, but tonight for the first time all year, it's Christian Vasquez. Do you think that's going to make any difference?
Maybe that was deemed by MLB so we could get a game five, but no, I mean, I was going to say maybe because Sandy's a left-handed batter, but he hits from both sides of the plate, so I don't think that should matter, but maybe Vasquez's sabermetric numbers are better against CC.
Yeah, maybe I was just kind of, you know, I mean, to me, it's just kind of strange. You know, it's like, oh, okay, we're going, you know, the guy catches him all year, and then we get to the playoffs, and it's like, well, let's do this. So, well, you know, I guess the, you know, just kind of the humorous thing. Do you think Brock Holt deserved another start after last night?
Quite possibly, but. You forget sabermetric doesn't have a stat for cycles.
Yes, or for guys who play multiple positions.
Yeah, that too. So, and then it looks like the Red Sox are going with as many right-handers against Sabathia as opposed to lefties, even though it wouldn't have made a difference having Leon in over Vasquez.
Yeah, well, maybe we'll see Holt later in the game. If, you know, something happens, he'll get a pinch hitter or something like that. But just one of those, you know, one of those odd things. You know, the guy who's in the cycle and then he's on the bench. So just, you know, a little strange. I don't even know how you look at it. I don't know if anybody. You know, I mean, obviously nobody expected him to hit for the cycle last night. So just, you know, that fact alone is ginormous. And then, you know, all of a sudden, hey, well, I guess it gives him something to talk about, right?
But, yeah, and I mean, everyone was hitting last night. Granted, not everyone hit for the cycle. But everyone... You know, everyone except for J.D. Martinez crossed the plate last night.
Yeah, you know, and I know, you know, it's exciting that he hit for the cycle, and, you know, it's really cool. But let's be fair here. He hit his home run off a backup catcher who was wrapping up the inning. So, again, it's cool that, you know, you can go, oh, yeah, hey, remember he hit for the cycle, but, yeah, the home run was off Austin Romine, so let's not get too excited about it. But you know, Dan, I was wondering, you were really liking Luis Severino yesterday while we were on the air. 3 innings, 7 hits, 6 runs, all earned. Walked 2, struck out 2. What happened?
Well, at least he struck out 2.
You know, and to be fair, he wasn't the only one. Lance Lynn came in, pitched a third of an inning, and was charged with 3 earned runs. Every Yankee pitcher that hit the mound gave up a run. Chad Green gave up a run. Jonathan Holder gave up a run. Tarpley, who I honestly don't know his first name, gave up 3. I thought maybe he was another position player. And then Romine gave up 2. So, yeah, it just wasn't the Yankees' night on the mound. You know, oddly, Nathan Eovaldi was much better than I thought he was going to be. 7 innings, 5 hits, just the 1 run. Didn't walk anybody and struck out 5. And then the bullpen came in. And, you know, with the exception of the walk that Eduardo Rodriguez gave up, that was it. You know, 2 innings, no hits, no runs. And they struck out again, Alan Embry and Rodriguez. So, yeah, it was just the Red Sox night, huh?
Big time. I mean, and after last night's game, I I just feel like the series should be over.
Well, yeah, you figure if you give up 16 runs, shouldn't that count as two wins? And they should just call the series now? So
essentially. I mean, you know, the Yankees were great in game two. They won 6-2, but when you lose 16-1 the next night, it doesn't really – it completely overshadows your one win.
Yeah. You know, and I do wonder if – you know, do you think there's the chance we see the opposite today and it's the Yankees with a blowout win?
I mean, technically you have a 50-50 chance, right?
Yeah, yes. Well, you know, looking at the game, what's really humorous here is the Red Sox scored 16 runs. It could have been a lot worse. They left 21 men on base. it definitely could have piled up. I mean, that's a large. I mean, obviously you got to get the guys on base to leave them there, but that's a lot of guys left on base. I mean, the Yankees, well, they only got 5 hits, but they left 12 guys on base. So you look at that. I mean, hell, the Red Sox could have gotten over 20 with a couple more hits in the right spots. So, but I don't know, you're not confident in CC. He's your guy. He's a postseason veteran. I think I saw this in his 23rd postseason start. You're not in on CC going out there and putting down that vaunted Red Sox lineup?
No, it's not so much him. I'm just, you know, for whatever reason, this Yankees lineup just isn't showing up to hit.
Well, maybe they'll hit Porcello. You know, he did have an ERA, what was it, over 4, I thought I saw for the season. So maybe tonight will be the night.
Yeah, well, I did go with 2 12-cent FanDuel lineups, and I went with 1 dominant Yankee and 1 dominant Red Sox. So we'll see if I can win some tickets to whatever the prize is.
There you go. So hopefully that works out. So we'll have to try to remember to see how you did.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I guess my question, I threw this tweet out to you last night, but you were probably sleeping. 10-0 or 10-1, the Red Sox challenge a out at second base. I mean, I get it's the playoffs, but seriously?
I guess I would kind of be curious about it, but did they win the challenge?
I think, I don't even remember. I was just annoyed by the whole fact that they challenged it.
Yeah, it's a little strange, but I guess if, you know, you've got a clear-cut winner, you take it, right? I mean, maybe they saw something where they realized that, you know, it was vastly wrong, and I can see your point of going, you know, 10-0. Why are we going through this? And you know, these are genuinely long. Red Sox Yankee games are genuinely long anyway. So you know, it's just kind of like, oh, okay, great. Let's extend them a little more. So. Yeah, but, you know, I guess it could have been worse. You know, I did mention they had those, you know, they had 4 reviews at first base, right?
Mm-hmm. I was trying to see if I could find that review. It just seemed redundant to me. Like, what was the point? You know, you're already up, and I think it was on their end. And the run did score, so I don't think they I don't think they won.
So, yeah, you know, I mean, I guess whatever, you know, whatever. But, I can definitely understand being annoyed. I probably would have been the same way if I would have been watching it going, wait, it's 10-0 and you're challenging something? What the heck's going on? So,
Yeah, of course I can't find it now. I should have.
That's okay. You know, just one of those. One of those. Isn't that how it always goes when you're looking for something you can't find it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you'll come across it later and go, oh, yeah, that's what I was looking for. So. But, yeah, you know, I don't know. The best way to kind of look at it, what's your take on this series so far? I mean, you know, all year we heard these are probably the best two teams in baseball. Are you buying that after seeing these, what, four games, three games?
No, I see the best team, and I see a team that has top-notch talent that can't put it together.
Yeah, it's weird because I think if you could combine these pitching staffs and you could take the Red Sox, you know, a couple of the Red Sox top starters with the Yankees bullpen, you would probably be lights out. But I don't know if, you know, all around when you look at the teams that, you know, I mean, are either one of these teams really that much better than the Astros?
I think Boston's definitely up there, and the Yankees did win 100 games, but, you know, they played, what, 18 games against Baltimore? We got 47 wins this season, so how much can you put into that? I mean, the Yankees, to me, are what the Cubs were this year, except they got farther. You know, they got lucky and went up against got lucky and beat the A's. But other than that, I mean, for a team that won 100 games, you think they'd put together a better series against the Red Sox? Granted, I know you can say, you know, the first one they lost by a run, they won by four. But overall, you know, 16-1, that's just in a playoff game. You might as well just throw in the towel.
Well, you're really down on the Yankees, aren't you?
Well, yeah, and I, you know, I, to be honest, I prefer the Yankees over the Red Sox, which would get me beat up in Boston, but...
Yeah. And you've been to Fenway.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know. But, yeah, I don't even know the kind of best way to describe it. I mean, I'm not a gigantic fan of either team, so I really don't care who wins or loses this series. You know, I would love to see whoever wins go out in the next round. So I honestly wouldn't have a problem with that at all. So, you know, it's just that's kind of. You know, kind of how it was growing up here. You know, they were always two of the top teams, and you know that's where you wanted your team to be. Was you know, hey, why can't they? You know, they get there. So yeah, to see both of them all alone, I have no problem with that.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about it, who's coming in or who they're going up against? And I think obviously the Red Sox would have the advantage being that they have the home field advantage, but I still think the Astros, they have the upper hand. And, you know, like Bregman said, we'll finally be in prime time.
Yeah. He was quite humorous, by the way. He's really becoming quite entertaining, isn't he?
Yeah, and, you know, I just, Scott Van Pelt annoys me, so it was hard enough to watch the interview, but when I read what Bregman had said, I had to watch it. Otherwise, I would have never watched it.
Yeah, luckily I didn't have to sit through it. I just got to see the cool part. I just got to see the cool interview part. So, you know, that's all that worked out for me. And, you know, and obviously tomorrow, you know, we'll spend a little more time breaking down the, you know, well, hopefully we'll get it. We'll know who the ALCS will feature, you know, if it's Boston, Houston, but we'll have more time to talk about Brewers, Dodgers, because that's a big thing. And, you know, I know I forgot to mention to you yesterday, Dan, that Eric Kratz is the new David Ross. I don't know if you saw that tagline. So, you know, but
touching on something you talked about, not to change the subject completely, yesterday, when I was getting home from the gym last night, I had to sit in the car for a couple extra minutes, continue listening to the radio, because they were talking about the McGregor-Habib fight. And the one guy who covers college football was down in Bama, and I guess he was at an after party or something, you know, I don't know where he was, hanging out with a bunch of college coaches, and they were all watching the fight after they did their job for the day. And, you know, it's pretty interesting, and names weren't thrown out there because he's not going to, you know, put their opinions out there on their behalf. That pretty much the conclusion was the same as yours, that while the fight may have sucked or whatever the case was, that it seemed very choreographed, that the ending, the way it happened with the other fight that happened afterwards. And I guess one of the coaches looked at another guy and goes, well, that just put, you know, McGregor Habib 2 through the roof. So
yeah.
I thought that was pretty interesting. You know, you kind of threw out the conspiracy theory, but apparently going around the nation, it's not just you. So I wonder what you thought of that.
I've I've had those weird thoughts on if it was just all a, you know, if the fix was in more or less to just make sure we get a second fight, you know, but then this one, you know, this wasn't the best of fights, you know, in the actual octagon because, it's just not Habib's style. You know, and I know people can complain all they want, but you know, guys have their own style, and you know, you're trying to win. You're not trying to impress anybody. You know, and like you brought up the perfect counter to this in boxing is Floyd Mayweather. You know, he stayed away from guys. He doesn't have many knockouts. Undefeated, going down as one of the greatest fighters ever, and people are going to complain because he didn't knock people out. So you've got to be a showman. You've got to get a reason for people to come and see the show. You need a carnival. And, you know, Mayweather has kind of turned into that. McGregor is very much that guy. And, I mean, you know, the thing about McGregor is he will say anything. You know, it doesn't matter if it's racist or homophobic or whatever category it fits into. He's going to say it and let people just react to it however they're going to react to it. And, you know, while it draws a lot of negative attention from, you know, a lot of the special interest groups, you know, they're not buying that fight anyways. So it's not that big a deal that way, but what it does is it adds a whole lot of pub to these fights. So, yeah, while Dana White may be upset about what happened after the fight, he's not going to be upset when he gets the, you know, the gate check and then the gate check for the rematch. And, you know, if McGregor happens to find a way to win, we're looking at a third fight because you got to have a winner. So, you know, he'll be upset all the way to the bank. You can be as mad as you want when you're cashing, you know, million-dollar checks or billion-dollar checks. I know McGregor's payday was $3 million. Habib's was $2 million. You know, how upset are you going to be?
Is he truly upset, or has he taken some acting courses?
Well, you know, he has to be upset for the camera. You know, how is he behind the scenes? You know, who really knows? You know, did it? Is it bothering him that much behind the scene when he's counting his money? You know, probably not. But, you know, on camera, you know, being that he's the boss, you know how it is. He's got to say the right thing. So, you know, what's the right thing? Well, we're going to have an investigation, and, you know, we're going to look into everything. And will we ever get the findings of this investigation, Dan?
A lame report about it, but you know, that's one of the things I'm just getting so tired of hearing every day. Because everything has to have an investigation.
Yeah, because I don't, you know, I remember UFC looked into a couple other incidents, and I don't remember ever hearing the results of those investigations. Do you?
Well, I remember the investigation into Brock Lesnar's steroids and. But you're right, I don't think it went anywhere because they pretty much waived him. So
right, no when they, yeah. No, and, you know, that's the thing people seem to forget. You know, they knew coming in, Lesnar couldn't pass a drug test. So they waived all that stuff for him so he wouldn't have to pass a drug test. You know, I mean, there was, you know, no way in hell he was going to be able to clean up in time to, you know, to get by whatever they had. So here you go. You know, they got their money out of them. They could say whatever they wanted afterwards. And here, the ironic thing, Dan, is now he's back. So, you know, I mean, that it seems like as long as you can make them money, you've got a place there, right?
Well, that's the bottom line for all the sports. And, you know, when it came to that Brock Lesnar stuff, I forget where the fight was or if the Nevada Commission took away his title or whatever they did. What the hell does he care? He still got paid.
What they did, Dan, is they took away the win. So what is that?
Yeah.
So,
well, sabermetrically, it means nothing.
I don't even think that hurts his war. They took away his win. I believe they ruled the fight a no contest or something to that effect. So yeah, that was the outstanding result of that investigation. So yeah. That's how that kind of worked out. So, but yeah, you know, I did see, Adlin, you mentioned, main event here. I want to double check it. It's Daniel Cormier and Derek Lewis for the heavyweight title on UFC 230. Which is November 3rd in New York. So that's where they're going. They were talking about the expected. Now here, this is even more interesting, Dan. They expected Cormier's next title defense, his heavyweight title defense, to be against Brock Lesnar. So I don't know. I guess just signing a contract makes him the number one contender because he didn't do anything to get a title shot, did he? So that was kind of interesting there. They don't mention when it looks like they could meet. So, but they are talking. Cormier said that he'll retire next spring around his 40th birthday. So you got to figure if he gets by Lewis, he's got one more fight with Lesnar, and that's it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't realize he was still fighting. He'd been around since the inception of the UFC.
Just about. You know, and they have added Nate Diaz and Dustin Poirier will be the co-main event for that fight. Of course, you know, Diaz made the name for himself, upsetting Conor McGregor. But, yeah, it doesn't look like they have any other fights listed for that card, just the two. So,
you know, when they run out of all the old guys, what happened to the UFC?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, that's one of the things. I mean, I guess they're hoping, you know, drop the guys coming up or, you know, whoever wins their, what, I don't even remember what the show is called now, their reality show. Yeah. Drawing a complete blank on it, but maybe, you know, I guess they got to hope one of those guys or multiple guys there break out and become stars.
Do they even still do that show?
I believe the Fox Sports Networks air it, either one or two, because they do a lot of UFC stuff there. You know, it's the Ultimate Fighter, right? UFC?
Yeah.
That's it. Okay. I was getting ready to bing it to see if I could find it, and it just popped into my head. So, you know, definitely got lucky there. I don't know how I came up with it out of the blue, but there you go. So, yeah, that's where they are. But, yeah, you know, Dan, I was interested. You know, I know obviously we take a, you know, a much closer look at the Cubs because they're local here. But I was wondering if maybe we could just kind of take a little bit of a look at, you know, these other teams that got knocked out, that got sent home. You know, and I mean, just kind of see what you think they might do and, you know, how it might work out. And I figure we could start with the most recently one eliminated, and that's the Atlanta Braves. Now, interestingly, you know, looking at them, they have some free agents that they're going to have to make some decisions on. You know, Nick Markakis is coming off a great year. You know, they picked up Brad Brock in a trade. Anibal Sanchez was really good for them. You know, Kurt Suzuki's been a nice fill-in guy. And then some other miscellaneous guys. You know, your guy Lucas Duda's a free agent. Ryan Flaherty was really good for him, another one. And so are Pete Moylan and Johnny Venters in that bullpen. You got a guy they think they've got to bring back out of that little group there. And what do you look for them to maybe try to add?
I think Markakis is the guy that they bring back. I mean, you know, not only did he do well in Atlanta this year, but he's had one of his best seasons. And, you know, being able to make the All-Star game after 13 years, you know, says a little something. So, you know, he might be more of the veteran amongst all the kids on the field. So he's definitely the guy who I think they should bring back. I am a little fired right now because I did watch a little bit of intentional talk and Matt Rosie. What's the other guy's name? I forgot his name already.
Kevin Millar.
Yeah, Millar. You know, he was in agreement with that too. So, but you know, it doesn't make sense. You know, the interesting part is I forgot how long they have been about saying. They definitely need to look at some different starting pitchers.
Did I lose Dan? He was starting to break up there. There you go.
It's starting. No? We have more?
You're kind of popping in and out. I think you're finally through, though. You sound better. So,
they need starting pitching because I don't think they could survive with just Sanchez and Newcomb.
Well, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, they have Fulton Awitz. They still have Kevin Gausman, who they picked up. But do they need a vet? Do you think they'll bring Sanchez back? Because, you know, like, he pitched for them for just $1 million. With the year he has, do you think somebody gives him a better offer?
Yeah, quite possibly the Orioles, maybe.
You know, they really haven't been the team to kind of go out and make that big free agent ad yet. Do you think winning the division probably a year earlier than they thought they would might change their mind and they go out and look at one of these top guys either via free agency or, again, they do have the farm system to make the trade, you know, if they find a guy they like?
I mean, of course, everyone's going to be taking a look at Harper and Machado, but, you know, I don't know if that's the right move at this point. But I guess if you can land them, it's better than giving up your farm system to get
I was thinking more along the lines of them maybe looking at a Jacob deGrom or a Noah Syndergaard to put at the top of the rotation and let their young guys work behind them.
That would definitely be huge, but is that something the Mets are going to do, willingly trade within the division?
Yeah, I think in the division is kind of a stumbling point there, but, you know, allegedly they're listening. So,
that's about the, you know, the best thing there, I would think, for them. So, but, all right, well, let's take a quick slide to Colorado here and see what they have going on. Now, you know, DJ LeMahieu is a free agent. I know they've got a young second baseman they're interested in bringing along, so we'll have to see about that. You know, Cargo, you know, he only came in on the one-year deal, so he's back on the free agent market. Adam Ottavino, one of their relievers, and then, you know, Drew Butera, who they picked up from the Royals, Matt Holliday, who they brought in later, and then Santiago Castilla and Chris Nelson. You know, those are all the Rockies free agents, Dan. So they've got a pretty good set. Do they bring any of these guys back, or do they just look to kind of tighten up what they have? And maybe I killed Dan this time, or he muted himself. So we'll have to see if we get Dan back. But, you know, I do find it interesting, and I would have never thought this, but you know that Ian Desmond is the highest paid Rocky at $22 million a year? I would have thought for sure it would have been like Arenado or Blackman or one of those guys, but, yeah, it's Ian Desmond. So that's kind of strange. And I have to find this infielder's name because I know they had a young guy there. I believe it's Garrett Hampson. They list him as a shortstop, but I believe they would like to take a look at him as their everyday second baseman. So that, you know, that could be kind of interesting because, you know, LeMahieu's been really good for them and he's just 29, but yeah, you know, you never really know with these teams now, and especially with veteran guys, you know, what they'll end up doing with them or how it'll kind of shake out. But they look like they're in a pretty good spot. And I actually thought I heard somebody today that they may consider trading Arenado. I don't know why. I'm guessing he's probably in the last year of his deal. But that doesn't mean you have to trade these guys. You know, I mean, there's no, you know, and obviously he's going to get a bunch of money. We'll see what basically Machado sets the infielder's market at. But, you know, I mean, he's just 27. You know, maybe he would give them you know, a little bit of a deal and not come in quite as high as Manny, and, you know, they might be able to sneak him in for a little under that, but you know, obviously, depending on where Machado lands, that, you know, what that number ends up being, you know, it's going to be a big key there. So, you know, we'll have to see. But, you know, obviously, they could say, you know, they could save that $8.5 million by letting Lucchese go, you know, playing the young guy. So, I don't know what they'll end up doing with that. That's an interesting spot. Now, you know, Dan, the big key with the Rockies was pitching. They actually improved this year with their own guys. They're probably better off just pushing that route, right, and trying to develop their own guys, or would you like to see them go out and try to add a guy?
Well, everyone needs to add a guy, but I forgot the list. There's, what, at least 30 starting pitchers out there. Granted, not everybody is a superstar, so I don't think they really need to add a guy, you know, 4 or 5 years that, you know, John Lester money or anything like that. You know, I thought, again, with the Cubs, Tyler Chatwood would be a great addition, and especially pitching in, I almost said Cleveland for some reason, Colorado. But it didn't turn out the way we all thought it was going to. So I think they're pretty safe, you know, developing within the system. And maybe looking for maybe a little bit more of a veteran pitcher to just kind of be a part of that team. You know, again, we've said that you can make a case for every team with Machado, but I think this is one of those teams that you could just cross off the list. I don't think he's coming to Colorado.
So, no, you know, and I mean, you know, unless, like, I think it might have been intentional talk where I heard them mention the possibility of Colorado trying to trade him. That may have been the place where I heard that. But, you know, curiously, Dan, I do wonder what you think. Has Cargo played his last game as a Rocky?
It's kind of confusing, you know, that they brought him back to begin with, and he wasn't super great. He wasn't horrible, but I think he has.
Yeah, because, you know, they have David Dahl, who, you know, was big down the stretch for them. Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously we're going to get, you know, Charlie Blackman is still going to be there. So, yeah, it kind of depends. I mean, because, you know, Cargo came back for, you know, it was $8 million with a bunch of incentives. Or it was $5 million with a bunch of incentives, I should say. So it'd be really small at $8 million. But yeah, you know, and he's only 32. It's not like he's ancient. You know, it seems like he should be a lot older, but he's only 32. So maybe if they need him one more year, he comes back.
I don't see why not. You know, you're still going to need those options on, you know, the righty lefty matchups and things of that sort, and giving guys rest.
So yeah, I guess, yeah, you know, he'll be one of the interesting ones. You know, again, because he's not really that old. You know, you think, but it, you know, it'll be interesting to see. But all right, Dan, let's move to what may be the team that goes through the biggest changes that's been eliminated so far, and that's the Cleveland Indians. We're looking at a lot of, you know, you could call name value free agency. You know, you start with Josh Donaldson, then you got Cody Allen, who really had his struggles this year, but a very good closer. You know, you can throw Andrew Miller into that mix. He kind of revolutionized the bullpen, and then it's been hurt ever since. Then it's, you know, Michael Brantley, Lonnie Susan-Hall, Josh Tomlin. You know, Rajay Davis is still a solid outfield piece. Then you got Oliver Perez, who's the lefty specialist, and your guy Melky, who hit 280 in the short home with them. You know, and then it's Adam Rosales, Brandon Brown, Alexi Agando, and Luis Perez. You know, this team could look a lot different. Multiple of these guys back? Are any of these guys coming back? Where are the Indians going?
You know, with Melky, I think if the money's right, why not roll the dice on him again? You know, he's been a pretty solid hitter and working the last the 3 or 4 years in the AL Central might be, you know, the consistency of being there might have him produce.
So, yeah, you know, just kind of running that list, it looks like we're going to need to either, A, bring back their bullpen guys or find some bullpen guys. You know, with the way Miller's been injured lately, it may be time to kind of let him go and move on. And I don't even, you know, Allen really helped. You know, there's a short shelf life on closers, so you got to wonder if maybe he needs a change of scenery. Now, you know, lucky for them, they're in obviously a very winnable division. I think they could lose all those guys I just named you and still win that division. You know, it's just kind of how the AL Central sets up right now. I know you're laughing, but you know I'm right. I really, I'm kind of at a loss for what this team might do, Dan. I mean, I would think they would want Brantley back after the year he had. But at 31, I don't know how many years they would be willing to go with him. There might be a team out there who would go 4 years on a deal with him. And, you know, that may be too much for Cleveland. You know, Josh Tomlin looked like he was going to be a nice fit for the back of the rotation, and it just hadn't seemed to work out. So, it looks like they're going to have to hunt down and add some, you know, just kind of, I mean, they don't need to go and get a star player. But, you know, I guess the burning question, Dan, do they try to bring Donaldson back, or was he just that rental that didn't help them win anything?
I would say he's the rental that didn't help them win anything. You know, I mean, he went up to Toronto and didn't really do a whole lot. Well, he was there, but I don't know, the way the injuries have gone with him, I think it's time to let him go. You know, you let Andrew Miller walk. I think the Miller experiment kind of played itself out and let another team take that risk. But not even that risk. I mean, you know, who knows where he sits with when it comes to this offseason. You know, do a team like the White Sox throw him in the mix, you know, take him on to try to do what they've done. You know, to try to do what they've done the last two seasons, and that's, you know, not only pick a couple guys that they think they're going to be able to move, unlike the other side of town where they pick up way too many guys that they think they're going to move and then having to end up releasing them, which is a complete waste. So you've got to wonder where his value is. You know, do the Yankees take another look at bringing him back to their team? I think for the Indians, it's time to kind of move on and maybe restock or rebuild that bullpen. You know, but it's so hard when you kind of throw out there that there's, what would it seem like? There was about 7 to 10 guys that you said were going to be free agents from their roster?
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, and on the plus side, you know, they should get Danny Salazar back, and, you know, they want to convert him to a reliever. You know what I mean? It looked like he's had good stuff. You know, and he looked like he was going to develop into a top-of-the-rotation starter. Between the injuries and everything else, it just hasn't worked out for the guy. You know, the bullpen might be a big hit for him with as good as his stuff is. So maybe, you know, he helps solve part of the problem because they'll have Brad Hand still at the back end to close out games. You know, it's not like they got to go hunt down a closer if they decide they're done with Cody Allen. You know, Brad Hand is a pretty good closer. You know, and obviously they're bringing back, you know, Corey Kluber comes back, Carrasco comes back. You know, Trevor Bauer will be back in the starting rotation and healthy. So, you know, they're going to have those three guys right there. you know, that, you know, I think they could go those three guys, me and you, and still win the Central, right?
I think they could go the three of them and have three bullpen sessions a week and still win the Central.
Yeah. So, you know, I think the one thing I do wonder if maybe it's time they look for a catcher upgrade. You know, Yan Gomes is 30. Roberto Perez is 29. Neither one of them are really offensive weapons. You know, and I'm wondering if maybe it's time they look on the market and, you know, I don't know if it's a trade or if they got to bring somebody in. Maybe catching is where they upgrade if there's a guy out there.
Yeah, and where do you find that catching?
Yeah, well, that's the key. I mean, you end up, you know, I mean, it's always difficult to, you know, to find it, but, you know, the Cubs have two. You know, you could probably check in to see what they would want for a guy like Caratini, who I think is an everyday catcher, will hit much better. You know, I know he's on John Berstew's crap list, but I don't think he's played enough. You know, there are teams with two guys that could, you know, do the everyday thing if they were just given the opportunity. So there, you know, I think there are offensive upgrades out there at that position. But I know, you know, these are their guys, and they've both been there for quite a while now. So you wonder if they would be willing to do that.
You know what the terms of their contract is, because I mean, the one team that they've had some good dealings with would be the Yankees, and they seem to have more catchers than we realize.
Well, it looks like Gomes is signed till 2021, and his salary is going to start jumping here. So I don't know how much interest the team will have in him. His base salary next year is $7 million. 2020, it jumps to $9 million. And then 2021, it jumps to $11 million. So I can't see them really being able to move him. I don't know anybody who's going to take on that kind of contract. That Perez is... he's actually pre-arbitration still. So he's said he won't be a free agent until 2023. He makes $2.5 million next year, $3.5 million the year after that, $5.5 million in 2021, and then it jumps to $7 million in 2022. So if they're going to move a catcher, he's probably going to be the guy. Because that's much easier handled contract.
You know, and of course, you're not going to move a catcher to get a catcher. To kind of move him out of the system, you know, as I kind of rack my brain, just off the top of my head, the first team that comes to mind would be Oakland. Simply for the fact that they may have some, you know, and I can't think of off the top of my head, of course, you're not going to get for Manaea or someone like that, but he seems like he would fit into their system, being youthful and not having to, you know, shell out the big cash for a guy like him. And I don't know, I think Lucroy's situation there. If
he's a free agent.
You know, yeah, you know, so right there alone, like you said, this kid might, you know, benefit from everyday playing, and Oakland might be a good system to get him wrapped up in. Especially with the way they performed last year.
You know, and I know we're killing all the Cleveland fans. Well, you know, our top prospect is a catcher. Yes, I know your top prospect is Francisco Mejia. He's 22 years old. I don't know if we want to bring up a 22-year on a contender. So...
I mean, it would
you know,
be nice, but the Yankees have Gary Sanchez, and, you know, from where he started, he's kind of came back down to earth big time.
And, you know, here's my question, Dan, is Is Jason Kipnis with the Indians next year?
No, he's playing center field for another team.
So, you think he ends up in center field, or you think somebody puts him back at second base?
No, that one I, you know, sarcasm there. You know, it depends on, I think, the money he wants. And, you know, here's the thing that cracked me up. And you saw my tweet about Chris Rose. Chris Rose's theory is that with the Indians getting knocked out and Baker Mayfield taking a lot of hype there in Cleveland, that this is going to overshadow the Indians and draw people's interest away from the Indians next year. I mean, they've won one game. So I know Browns fans are pretty passionate. Oh, they won two. Pretty passionate about their team and all. But, I mean, isn't that the same to be said for when LeBron came back to town and they actually won a championship? You would have thought that they may have drawn some interest away, but, you know, he didn't bother to talk about that. So it's you've got to wonder if that is truly a factor. How much does Jason Kipnis mean to this team? Maybe not so much to this team, but, well, yeah, to the team and to the fans and keeping that interest in there. And I think that's where you gauge a little bit more on, do you want to re-sign him? I figure what, he's between 28 and 31. So he's most likely going to be looking for a 4 or 5 year deal.
Yeah, you know, I think they're out of the teams that have been knocked out so far. I think they're the most interesting with what they're going to end up doing. So,
well, you know, maybe they'd win more if they got rid of that stupid drum.
Well, you know, come on, you know, it's bad enough they're changing their uniforms.
Yeah.
I heard somebody crapping on them for one more time yesterday.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, yeah, well, you definitely got to do it on Columbus Day, right? I don't know. I mean, everybody's so sensitive. You know, someone you're friends with on Twitter was all upset about the war chant down in Atlanta. You know, the Chiefs do it. Does everyone forget about that? So, and I believe the Seminoles still do it. Or am I wrong?
Yeah. Well, you know, they tried to get the Seminoles to do it at Florida State, and they actually went to the tribe and got permission. So, yeah, they tried to fall down on them, and they stuck it right back in their face and said, hey, we've got permission from, you know, the recruiting people to do this. So, it's my butt.
So, I mean, you know, things like that, everyone needs to just get over it.
All right, well, we need to do dinner and get over this episode. So, we're going to tomorrow with 5 minutes. All we're doing is we're going to do Look for that new luck.